And now, a message from our sponsor, Flamingo. Every multifamily marketer wants to know what the next big thing will be. At the apartment department, we think that resident retention is the next big thing, which is why we're excited to have Flamingo as our podcast sponsor. Flamingo, founded by Jude Chai, is an all-in-one resident retention platform used by some of the top-performing communities in the country. And here's a fun little secret. If you see a community with 300-plus online reviews and 65%-plus retention, there's a good chance they're using Flamingo. From automated renewal management and resident events to amenity bookings and even an AI concierge, Flamingo brings everything together in one sleek app that residents actually use. Learn more at getflamingo.com. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Apartment Department, the podcast for multifamily marketers by multifamily marketers. Our guest today comes to us from Opinion. He is the chief executive officer, and his name is Devin Shurtleff. And we are so excited to have Devin here today because, as everyone knows, resident experience is really one of the most important things when it comes to marketing. We all know how important it is to ensure that our residents are having a good experience from a retention standpoint, from a reputation standpoint, which ultimately makes sure that our properties are operating successfully from a financial standpoint. And so with that, I am going to go ahead and let Devin introduce himself.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, where do you want me to start? How far back? How far forward? Where we're at now? You tell me.
Yeah, so tell us about Opinion, and then tell us, you know, it looks like you've been there for about 8 years or so. So tell us what drew you to Opinion, you know, as you've kind of grown from a career standpoint.
So Opinion is a resident satisfaction software. And what our job is to do is to guide the resident journey and to understand the resident journey all the way through attracting somebody to your property, to engaging with them while they're at the property, and then ultimately retaining them long-term. And so we have built a series of tools. I think we're best known for our reputation management products, but we do far more than that. And I think that's, you know, sometimes kind of misunderstood from the industry that, oh, Opinion is a review software. And the reality is we focus on satisfaction. We want to build product that increases resident retention. We want to increase resident satisfaction. And we do that by measuring and managing it at every single touch point that a management is going to have with a resident, through the prospect, all the way through even to a move out. We're measuring and managing that entire experience for them. And I will tell you, so that's what Opinion does. A little bit about me. We didn't start there. We actually didn't start in multifamily at all. So my background is in marketing. My education's in finance there. But really, I started building small software products for the marketing world. A couple of products that would do bidding software for PPC for Google. We built a software that would manage mass email marketing. So because there was nothing that was sending email fast enough to some of these larger lists. And so that's really kind of where I got my software starts. I then kind of moved in into this arena of using marketing and then getting into skincare products and supplements online and things like that. So I was running that, do affiliate marketing there. And anyway, so I eventually built an agency that did marketing for on behalf of Google. Actually, this complicated product we can get into, but yeah, basically started in marketing and then moved into kind of product, doing skincare sales online and doing affiliate marketing online. And then my old college roommate called me one day and said, "Hey, I'm not happy with what I'm doing." And he was working for a dealership software. And I said, okay, you know, a little bit to kind of help him out, feel a little bit better about his life. I said, okay, well, what do you want to do instead? And he said, well, I don't know. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, Morgan, I'm not getting off the phone until you give me a business idea. And so he said, well, I don't know. And I said, well, Morgan, I'm not getting off the phone. And so, you know, kind of going back and forth, he was at this dealership, there was, I guess this dealer had asked him to set up a series of links and click funnels to get reviews for the dealership. And so So I said, and he said, but I think we can do it way better. And so that kind of got my gears turning. I asked him a couple questions. I say, hey, I'll call you back. So I got on, I just did a little tech savvy, went and built a series of kind of WordPress pages and ClickFunnels to get reviews online. I called him back a couple hours later and said, hey, this is what I got. Sent him a link through text. And he said, oh, this is way better than what I implemented for this dealership. And that was really kind of the inception of Opinion there. So we started there. We started selling to just salon, spa, medical offices, you know, anyone who would take our phone call. At a couple buddies that were using it in their software or in their software companies and their businesses. And so I have a sister who owns salon. She was using it. But it was really hard. It's kind of a saturated space. And we got a call one day from an ownership group that's here in Salt Lake City. And we went up and met with them. And their management group was AMC. So Apartment Management Consultants, right? So they're up in Salt Lake. And my old business partner and I, Justin Bingham, he and I walked into AMC and said, hey, Milburn and Company wants us to implement this software. So we put it on like 6 properties or something. And turned on the software, uploaded the residents, turned on the software. And overnight, we got 30 reviews for one software or for one property. There was a gal over there. She called us and she said, what did you do? And we said, well, I didn't, you know, this is how it works. And she said, this is incredible. This is game changing for the industry. And we said, well, okay. She said, can you come back? So we went back, met with her, and she said, well, you know what, we want this on all of our properties. And so that was our start. And we had no idea that AMC at the time was number 3 in the nation there. And so once we started dropping that name and we said, hey, this is working really well for property. How do we get more? And so with a couple of different connections, we ended up starting with AMC. And once you kind of drop AMC's name to, you know, a bunch of other management companies, we started to get a lot more traction there. We got the attention of RET Ventures, which is a Park City venture group there. And they're pretty well known in the space, have a lot of product now that they've invested into, a lot of portcos there. And that was really our start into multifamily. We soon discovered that reviews weren't just going to cut it, that we really needed to focus on this satisfaction piece. And really that's what was going to move the needle for our clients long-term. And so kind of the rest, you know, that was 2019 and started in 2017, kind of found our footing in multifamily in 19. And now here at 2025, you know, almost 2 million units. Well, just over 2 million units later, 9,000 communities that use our product. I would say that that we've really kind of mastered being the experts in this space. And we feel like, you know, we bring a really good product. We really help our products or our properties be successful using our product. So how's that for an intro of Opinion and where we're at and my background there?
I love it. That's, you know, I think as you were talking, first of all, it's amazing. I love stories like that because it's just, I don't know, that's kind of the American dream, right? Like you tried something, it worked, it was amazing. Also, I have to tell you that I grew up in pay-per-click agencies. That was my start into marketing too. So I was smiling when you were talking about automated bid software, but that's a wonderful introduction. Tell us, you know, I don't know, Chris, you're a user. Jump us off here. Like, talk to us. I know you love Opinion. But
Opinion, it works. They do have a really good product. But I want to dive into something that I know Devin is really working towards in helping our industry use this feedback that we get as a key driver for occupancy, retention, and performance overall. What are you seeing and what can you tell us on what these reviews are actually doing and the feedback, the direct feedback? And I think people should know, the audience should know, it's not just the public reviews that we're getting. We get a lot of private feedback with this system and it allows us to really have an understanding of what's going on property because of how we are gathering this data through the touch points. So I'd really like to hear the data that you have, Devin, on this product and how it's helping us with these key KPIs that we're all looking at.
Yeah. I think there's a couple different ways to approach this. We recently did a case study for Just kind of throwing some of these metrics we really struggled for a while, like tying reviews to ROI there. And we've started to tie it through clicks and visits to the website. And this will kind of get into, you know, some of the reason why, you know, we most recently made an acquisition here as well, but we know that, telling the message of the resident experience doesn't start when they come on property for a tour. It starts way before that. And it starts with, what does your presence look like online? And what do your business listings look like online? Right. And so some of the study that we've done recently is that properties that have a 4.5 star rating, they achieve a 43% lower cost per click and 160% higher conversion rate when they have a 4.5 star or more, right, online. And so what we're doing there is we're reducing your marketing spend on the front end, right? And then as you tell the story and you present better online, that leads to more clicks, review volumes up, which means your higher clicks to the website's up, your conversions up there, your leads are up, which ultimately influences your tours, your occupancy, all the way down to NOI. And so that's what we're trying to do, is to say, okay, from attracting somebody to the property, telling the right story, and then delivering on that all the way through through the tour, and then ultimately through a lease there. So that's kind of our attract product on the front end, and then engaging people long term is really where we focus on that next. Did that quite answer your question? I missed a piece of it there.
No, I mean, that's it. And I think we all know this, but you put numbers to it with the increased conversion rate, which is pretty big time.
Yeah.
4.5 too. I was just one last thing on this, and then you go, because 4.5 is a number we're hearing that some generations below us, they're only searching 4.5 and above, which I can tell you that's not how I search. I know you have to take your bias out of it. I'm okay with a 4, but I think hearing those numbers, it's pretty shocking and how important reviews are to your overall marketing program and keeping your residents happy, who are the ones that are probably going to end up leaving most of these reviews for us, since they're interacting with the site. Ann, go ahead.
No, same. I mean, I think you're right. Like, fundamentally, we knew that, right? Like, it all makes sense. You have a higher rating, people are more likely to be interested in you, especially, I think, price point too. I've always said that if you have a higher rating, then you can charge a higher price point too than competitors. Although maybe one day you can give me data around that, because that's just like my gut feeling. But I think to be able to have data and say, like, this is why reviews are so important, because ultimately a lot of times, obviously you can use a program like Opinion to gather reviews, but a lot of times marketing departments are asking their site teams to go out and get those reviews. And so really having a why behind why it's important and how it's going to help the property is huge. And I'll also say, Chris, we've started using 4.5 as our new benchmark. It used to be 4. Now we're saying 4.5.
I think you have to. The data's there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think one of the things, though, to keep in mind too, is, you know, there's maybe listeners, property managers, regionals out there saying, well, we're not at 4.5. Like, what do we do? Right. We've got a sub 4, you know, and to your point, Ann, you can use a software like ours to help you get there. But at some point though, there's such massive review volume that, you know, I don't want people to give up when they're like, well, we're never going to get to a 4.5 because we have so many reviews. But the other piece, you know, one of those that we look at as well is that if you have over 200 reviews, on your property, you are going to have 270% more increase in traffic to your website. So it's not always just about the score. We, on average, have a 4.2 star across, like, the portfolios that use us, right? And some are going to be less, right? Because it's an average there. But it does mean you're kind of SOL a little bit too, that you can say, okay, look, let's focus on, yes, getting 5-star reviews, which is going to drive that score up. But even if it takes a while, the volume piece is important as well, and consistency. So the recency of reviews and also the amount of reviews that you have really lends itself well to the organic side, that that you're going to show up more in search. You know, when people are on maps looking at apartments near me, or Google apartments near me, just having that review volume up consistently and having recency reviews leads to that 270% increase in traffic there when compared to someone who's got sub 200 and doesn't have very recent reviews within the last, and we say recency reviews within the last 30 days.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's very interesting. And you said something else too that was interesting to me, that this kind of idea of like, you can't just necessarily go out and ask for reviews and get positive reviews that will increase your score if there is a resident satisfaction issue at your property. And so can you talk to us, about the attract phase. Talk to us a little bit more about how you're seeing your clients use data, the data that you're gathering around the resident experience, and then how are they using that information to improve operations?
Yeah, that's a great question. So to back up a little bit on how our software works to kind of educate. So what we're doing is every single touch point the resident has with the management company, we're measuring that. So when someone tours the property, we're surveying that resident with a very quick pulse survey. How was it? How did we do? When they move into the property, we're pulse survey. How do we do? Maintenance, same thing. And the lease renewal and the move out, right? So those are our key touch point. But one of the things that we do consistently on a quarter to quarter basis is we're also measuring what the resident NPS score is consistently. So on a quarter to quarter basis, even if they have moved in the last 60 days, on a quarterly basis, similarly to, larger companies or companies will do with their employees, they're measuring what's my employee satisfaction score. We're doing that with the resident. So we're taking all of that feedback on a quarter to quarter basis, and we're saying, what's my satisfaction score this quarter? Okay. And if the satisfaction score, so we measure that over time, to see, okay, are our residents getting happier or are they not, right? And if they're not, that brings to your point, which is, what are you doing about that? So we're collecting that feedback. So if someone rates us lower, we're doing two things. One, we're asking them on a follow-up survey, why? Like, what's going on here? And we collect all of that feedback. And AI has really changed the game for us on this, right? And I'll get to the point of, we used to just have a lot of information. And so we would just take all this information that we had, and we would just, here it is. It's on you. We had a word cloud that would kind of go through, but hey, it's on you to kind of scour all the feedback that you're getting. And we send that on a one-to-one basis. If someone has a bad experience, we send that directly to the manager within 30 seconds of them leaving that, saying, hey, Chris, here's the problem that this resident has. They're upset about this. Here's the contact information. We suggest reaching out now, right? But we take all that information, and in the last, it's probably 18 months, maybe 24 months now, we built our insights tool. And so what our insights tool does is it aggregates all of your feedback data, all of your review data, feedback being internal data, review data being all the public data, and we analyze that. And we have different prompt questions that are saying, hey, what are the top five things that are going right in this property? What are the top things that are not going right in this property? And so we're using AI to solve that problem of saying, okay, hey, these are the five things that I need to be looking at on a quarter to quarter basis and changing within our property, right? And so the reality is it's on the management group or on the onsite team to really make those changes there. But that's how we're solving that problem, is we're not just saying, hey, here's a bunch of reviews, analyze it yourself, great, whatever. We've actually built an insights tool into our tool that analyzes all that for you and breaks it down and says, look, to be successful this next quarter, you need to work on these five different things that your residents are telling us, not just things that anecdotally you think are wrong or whatever. No, this is real, true resident feedback that you can then implement in your property. And as you make those changes, that's how we see that satisfaction score increase on a quarter to quarter basis. And it's important to do that quarterly, because, review data is, when you look at Google reviews, they've got reviews on there 10 years old, right? Yeah. That's no longer relevant. So when you do an analysis on all of your reviews, saying, hey, the property's messy on a 6-year-old review is no longer relevant to what we're doing today. And so we look at that data on a quarter to quarter basis, which allows us to say, what's relevant now? What do we need to work on right now? And our tool allows you to do that. And as you make those changes, you will have happier residents there. So hopefully that went through your question and answered that a little bit, but our insights tool helps us do that for us.
Okay. No, I mean, that's amazing. Who are you seeing? You know, you talked a little bit about managers getting feedback. Are you seeing that a lot of your clients, I guess, are marketing teams? Are they customer experience teams? Are they regionals? Like, who's interacting with Opinion on the property management side?
Primarily, it's the marketing teams that are using us. But we are also seeing a lot of the regionals. They want to understand at an aggregate level, like, what are we doing and what are we doing right and what are we doing poorly? We're seeing it actually from ownership groups as well, where an ownership group actually wants it on their property, because a lot of times the management companies managing the property, they're the on-site, they are there all the time, but the ownership groups don't have a lot of insight into what's happening in the property. So they don't know if their residents that are living in their properties are being treated well, if they're happy, if they're not happy. And this gives us insight into their, it allows the ownership group to have insight into what's actually happening at the resident level. And are their residents being treated fairly, with respect, all of that other stuff? Our tool can catch that and help the ownership groups kind of police their property from afar, right? And so we're seeing anywhere from ownership groups at the executive level to management groups at the executive level, the ops level, the regionals are using it, the on-site teams are using it, and the marketing teams are using it. So kind of all the way through the organization, our tool's applicable there.
That's really great. Yeah, I think, you know, we were talking about before the call that there's sometimes that challenge of, like, you're gathering all of this data, but then where does it go? How does it then infiltrate an organization on multiple levels in order to be able to drive change? So I love hearing what you're saying.
And I'll just chime in, because at my company, marketing takes care of all the public reviews with the help of the tools from Opinion. But our regionals are answering all the feedback. And we did that on purpose. We don't have the property manager doing it. The regional is the one reaching out to the residents when we get a negative feedback, or one that could be negative, to find out what's really going on, so they have a pulse on their properties. Of course, they're going to talk to the manager and figure out what the two sides of the story is or whatever. But we did that purposely and intentionally so that our regionals have a pulse of what's going on with that day-to-day feedback, because we're getting all kinds of it. And then on the reviews, they see them as well, but marketing handles the out-facing to the public responses on it. So that's how we split it at our company. And our executives get reports quarterly as well.
Very cool.
Yeah, we have a scheduler tool as well. So, you know, you can put anybody you want in there. You know, if they want to log in, they can do that. But you can also just add an email. So if, like, hey, on a quarterly basis, I want one of our executive team to receive this report, you can plug all of that in there. Because, you know, as you guys know, there's a huge problem with vendor overload. There's so many platforms, so many logins, so many things like that. You know, a lot of software companies, they focus on, well, how many users can we get in the platform on a monthly basis? It's a success metric for us if we can get you out of the platform, right? Because that is something everyone is asking us for. So we want to provide tools on our side that are automated and just kind of do their job in the background, right? Otherwise, why would you have software if you have to be in it every day managing it? We want to automate the process for you. But then we also want to make sure that the reporting comes straight to your inbox as well.
How big is is resident satisfaction, like, the next big thing? Is that the next trend that everyone in property management is moving toward? Or, I don't know, tell us, you know, from a 30,000 foot view, what you're kind of seeing.
Yeah, I think it's getting a lot more attention than it has in the past. And I think most owners and operators know that that resident satisfaction is important, but it often gets relegated to, like, soft or non-financial metrics. And the truth is, it's one of the clearest business drivers in multifamily, in my opinion, right? I'm a little biased, right? Because, you know, we run the software here, but happy residents renew their leases, which cuts down turnover costs. I was with an ownership manager ownership group, top 10, NMHC top 10 this last week. And I was asking them, I said, hey, how much does it cost to turn a property? And their policy is if carpet is older than 12 months, they replace it. And so if it's under that, they clean it. They also do paint. They'll sometimes do appliances, and they'll kind of do a walkthrough on there. But they were saying it can cost anywhere from $3,000 to $6,500 to turn an apartment, right? And that's an enormous amount, you know, especially some of these apartments that are, you know, let's call it on the low end, $1,000 a month to rent. You're losing, you know, 6.5 months of rent just upfront on a turn. And so the reality is you can save that by just understanding what your residents want, right? And surveying them. And so if they're unhappy, you know, it's an age old question, you know, it costs way less to retain a customer than to get a new one, but it's absolutely true. And, you know, and so like breaking that down a little bit further, you know, I mentioned that happy residents renew their leases, which cuts down turnover costs, but happy residents also leave authentic and positive reviews, which drives new leases for you. They, you know, and they recommend the community to friends and family, and that reduces your marketing costs, right? And when scaled across a portfolio, that satisfaction translates into higher occupancy, stronger retention, yeah, and, you know, portfolio-wide lift on NOI. And so satisfaction is no longer this side metric that people should be focused on. It really should be the foundation of growth because, you know, as I stated earlier, it can cut your marketing costs. It can cut your cost per lease. It can cut your turnover costs. It can cut all of this if you just focus on keeping your residents happy that are already there.
Want more from the Apartment Department? Find us on Substack for episodes and articles delivered straight to your inbox. No, I agree with you. Not this industry, but I worked at another company and the owner basically was like, we don't have to have a good experience for our customers because we'll just get new customers. And I was like,
yeah,
there's only so many customers. And we ended up spending a lot of time focusing on NPS and the, you know, the experience that our customers were having when they were coming into our locations. And it was incredible. We started to see an increase in repeat customers. We start, of course, to see our net promoter score going up. We start to see kind of the average transaction go up. I mean, so it was really interesting to be able to tie those satisfaction metrics to financial ones. What are you, do you guys kind of aggregate the data of all of your customers to look at trends? And the reason I'm asking that is I was kind of wondering if you have a sense of when residents are dissatisfied and they're not renewing their leases, like what are the common reasons for that?
Yeah, I would say it's not necessarily a timeline issue, but residents leave because they feel neglected. A lot of it's maintenance, right? That's the main reason residents leave is that they're usually relocating, right? That's usually the number one, yeah, is why they leave. They've either bought a house, they're moving states, they're, you know, life has changed. So, you know, they're having kids, things like that. So usually it's like a life thing. That's the number one, which is, you know, pretty positive, you know? But yeah, the other issue is maintenance, staff. They don't feel like maintenance is being done on the property properly or quick enough or up to their standard. You know, that also kind of includes, you know, the apartment's kind of getting run down, right? And so regular maintenance items aren't being done. And then the second thing, you know, well, I guess it's the third thing, right? Beyond, you know, when you go into the problem areas, it's the second thing, which is, management just doesn't care. You know, we get that feedback a lot that like management just, they just don't care. Like they don't care. They just collect my rent and they're not being listened to and heard. And again, that's, you know, it points back to opinion. It's like implementing our software is sometimes the unseen or the unheard truth about it is just putting that in front of them and saying, I want to hear what your experience is, just shows that you care as a management company in the beginning. And so, but that's a key piece of like, yeah, I just don't think they cared about me. Or, you know, the flip side is they didn't listen to me, right? Not that they didn't care, but they didn't listen. And so kept telling them over and over and over, you know, this is a problem, but they never did anything about it. That's a typical problem as well, you know, and then you get into the other ones, cleanliness, and, you know, it's kind of a maintenance item, but kind of gets into cleanliness, security, noise complaints. Like you kind of get a mix of all the other ones, but the major ones are, maintenance wasn't done on time or the property's getting kind of run down, not proper. And the management just wasn't listening and they didn't care.
When you get this direct feedback, I can tell you from experience, you already show care if you call them and say, we're sorry, and then try to fix their issue. You can't fix everything. Nobody, we know in this industry, some stuff is unfixable, but at least you can try and at least you can listen. And I think that's a huge piece of it. So I have a question about how reviews have kind of reshaped how we do business, but I want to take it to the next level. How is it going to work with AI? And how does AI pull these reviews? We know how it works on Google, but what about ChatGPT, for example, which I think pulls from Bing? So how does that, what's the future look like with these AI bots and still getting this feedback out there for people to know about?
Yeah, so AI SEO, right, is a GEO is the new term. Engine optimization, right? And, you know, it's kind of interesting. Last week, again, I went to the summit and with RT Venture Summit. And so I was sitting with some of their LPs and they had the same question about how do we get this more on the forefront of GEO? And like, how are we influencing like search engine there? And I think that's generally a problem we're still trying to solve of like, what are all like the different facets of it? One of the things that that is important is business listings and making sure your listings are updated correctly there. I have not seen evidence that it's pulling from Google reviews yet. And so trying to figure out exactly where it's pulling from on some of this stuff and how it's ranking some of these, I think is still a problem we're trying to solve for. But I think a lot of it does start with generative content, making sure that your content, your websites are updated. All of that will be a piece of it. We haven't gotten into necessarily the generative side of that yet, but I believe it's going to come back down to making sure that that your websites are updated, your scores are posted there, the experience stuff that you guys are posting on your websites and what people are saying about that. Previously to the call, you guys both told me, hey, we're using our feedback data to help generate content on the website. I think those are things that GEO is looking at. Across not just ChatGPT, but like all of the other ones as well, the Claudes of the world and, you know, every other AI search engine that's out there. I believe that AI search is going to take over, right? And, you know, that's why you see a big push from Google to try to do the generative search on their side as well, just to keep up. But I think it's about consistently maintaining your websites and making sure that content there is fresh, updated, but also like not just content, but experiential content there. And that you're posting the experiences that your residents are having back there. And that's something that we're focused on as well, as making sure that we're building product that helps with the generative search that's happening.
Oh, it's the Wild West. It's like when Google first started. I'm old enough to remember when that happened and what we needed to do for SEO, which I still care about.
I know. I'm tired. Why do we have to do this again?
I think that's interesting. I would like to know where they are pulling this stuff. I know Yelp definitely plays on like Apple Maps and stuff, and Yelp's a real hard one for us to tackle in our industry for sure. But it would be interesting to know where some of these others are pulling and how we can get that data out there without just posting on our site and saying, oh, people love us, here's our 4.2 review, you know, from Google. So that'll be, I guess, to be determined at some point. Maybe you can get back to us if you get any more insights and we can give an update to the audience, because I think we all care about it. How are reviews changing how people are searching in general? Do you think, let me ask it a different way. Do you think that reviews have become number one now when people look, once they've determined where the location is and what price they're at?
My personal belief, the reviews is, if not the major factor, one of the major factors of why people even put it on the list of properties that they're willing to tour, right? I think the experience that they're having with that, with seeing that a lot. Yeah. I mean, I think that's why they're choosing different apartments, is that they want to, they're looking at what other people are saying. And this kind of leads into a little bit of why we made our acquisition that we made as well, which is with RentGrotta, right? And so beyond reviews of just attracting them to the property, you know, a lot of times people, they want a review from somebody that lives in that property. And that's basically what RentGrotta facilitates, right? And so for those, you know, listeners, you guys maybe not familiar with that product. So let's say I wanted to live we created a fictitious, and it runs all of our demo accounts, called Lofts on Main. And so let's say I wanted to live on Lofts on Main. The reviews are great online. The photos are great. I talked to the manager. She was great, or he was great. But I haven't been to the property yet, but I'm on the website, right? You can actually chat with the resident that lives in Lofts on Main before you even go visit the property. And so you're saying, look, and you're texting with that resident, and it's all encrypted to make sure that, there's anonymity there between the two. But then I can ask and say, hey, Ann, how do you like living in the property? And you go, yeah, it's great. Great pool, great this. And I can ask you kind of anything there. That's a form of having a review because you're getting it live from another resident there. And so, I believe that all of that matters. I believe that having those reviews, having those live experiences really matter. And they also bring a human element back to leasing as well. And then, to add on to that, a little plug for the Rent Grata side, but let's say I leave a tour, but I'm not quite convinced. Rent Grata then follows up with prospects as well saying, hey, look, and let's say I haven't chatted with a resident yet. But I've looked at it online. I've seen the photos. I even took a tour. But I'm still in this prospect phase because I'm still trying to decide, should I live in a property or not? Rent Grata is following up and saying, hey, I live at this property. Do you want to chat? Like, what else can I do? What else can I say to help answer any questions you may have? So we're utilizing the residents that live at the property to actually convert people from this prospect status into a lease as well. But to answer your question, Chris, I think reviews play a part, whether in what form they do, whether that's a written review online or that's an actual review I'm getting from a text-based conversation. I think all of it is an important step in signing a lease, that people just don't buy product anymore without looking at reviews.
Yeah, or being referred by someone, or that social proof. Like, whenever I've talked with Zach, it's kind of this idea of the social proof, right? And how do you get that? And it's that person to person, especially when sometimes the review landscape is fractured, and you have Yelp and you have Apple Maps and you have Bing and you have apartments.com and you have Zillow and you have Google, and you have like all of a sudden 8 to 10 different places that people can leave reviews. Kind of a fractured story exists. So I love Rent Grata for that fact, that now it's like this live person telling you a real story instead of, one that might be hard to piece together on your own.
Yeah.
It was a match made in heaven. I think most of us who knew your company and knew Zach and his company, it was a perfect match. We've had a lot of consolidation. I would just say, if you were to ask me at the beginning of this year and where we're at now with everything that's happened in our industry with some of the stuff going on, there were some big surprises. This one didn't surprise me. It was like, this is perfect. You guys have two products that really work well together. And I think with the data that you'll be gathering from the residents that you already have, the ones that love being there, it's a perfect match for them to then get on and have those live conversations. I've also had many conversations with Zach, and it's a good product. And you can actually lower your referral fee if you play it right, if you're offering referral fees at your community, because really, you're getting the live referral from somebody who actually lives there, and it's talking the talk. It's not just Chris behind a desk saying how great this community is, or Ann, or whoever. It's somebody who's there experiencing it. So that was really exciting. I'm sure you guys are excited about it. I'm sure it's actually changing the landscape of what you're doing, along with some of the other cool products. I mean, you have listing now, and you're kind of becoming a one-stop shop for helping us marketers kind of unfracture it. And, in some of these areas that we all struggle, I don't know if you want to touch on some of that.
Yeah. I mean, we built and released a lot of product this year. That was one of our bigger initiatives to say, look, we're listening to what our clients are telling us. We're listening to the management companies. We're listening to the ownership groups telling us, hey, we want consolidation of product. We want consolidated pricing. And we are trying to deliver on that. So in Q1, we re-released a long form survey platform. We had one before that was much like kind of Google Forms. It was very simple. We've relaunched that as more of a long form, more robust. You could offer 50 question surveys if you want. We don't recommend that. No one takes them that long, but you can offer that there. We launched business listings, which will manage over 270 different online domains, all from one central dashboard within Opinion. We launched social media, which a lot of people I don't think knew, which now you can manage all of your socials. For those that have 20, 50, 100 properties, you know, and then you've got all the social domains that come with them. You can manage all of that from one place, all of your posting. So we have an AI that generates content for you. And you can generate one post and you can watermark it with all of the properties and push it out to all of them from one central location. And then we also centralize your inbox. So when you've got, you know, five different socials for one property, you've got 100 of them. That's 500 inboxes you're supposed to manage. You can manage that all in one central location with us. So we push that out as well. So kind of those three products. And then the fourth being Rentgrata, adding that to the mix of what we're doing this year. We are genuinely and really trying to own the entire resident experience. We are trying to be a one-stop shop, an all-in-one kind of resident operations platform. That's the messaging that we're putting out. And we've got a lot of work ahead of us to kind of brand ourselves out of this like reviews bucket and really push us into this. No, we are a platform that is focused on property success. We want to help your properties be successful. And we are going to give you all the tools to be able to do it and manage it all in one central location. That is the messaging that we'll be putting out, you know, through this quarter, next quarter, and into 2026. That is what we are doing. That's our mission, is really, we are trying to build a platform that really influences the resident experience throughout whatever step of the journey they're in. We want to be a positive impact and be able to measure and manage that for all of our management groups and ownership groups that use us, and ultimately the properties.
I love it.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Great. So Devin, we like to do kind of a future thing at the end of our podcast. It's been great learning more about Opinion and what you kind of, all the information and stats you gave us. It's one of those things Anne likes to say, her mind is blown. It's given her something to go think about.
Please.
And Anne and I will then text furiously for the next couple of days on how we can take all this information and go implement it right away, because we like to do that. But what do you think is coming down the pike? What's the future? Let's start there, and then Anne, I will let you ask our favorite question of all.
what's the future for Opinion here?
For our industry, just technology in general. Where do you think it's all going? And how can we be better? And that can include the things that you're going to be doing, like making a one-stop shop platform.
Okay. Wow. This is kind of a loaded question a bit. Like for us, you know, we've got our work cut out for us trying to integrate this Rentgrata product back into what we're doing. One of the cool pieces, and we've touched on this a couple of times throughout this podcast, which is we want to give a lot more direction to our management groups, and not just kind of, hey, here's the five things and you know, that you can be working on, but really getting a lot more intent behind that, and even some of the follow-up with that, and making sure that we've kind of even got checklists there of these are the things that you should be implementing in your property. Are you focused on these, so that all the way through from the executive level, all the way through the property level, they can understand what's being worked on and what they should be focused on to be able to increase resident satisfaction. I think here in the next couple of months, we're going to see rates drop, which will be interesting to see if we get a lot of asset transfers happening or new properties moving. You know, that always is something that we're keeping our eyes on there. I think, you know, I'm not going to put this out there anyways, but I think there's going to be a lot of movement from some of the bigger players in the space, from the PMS systems. I think some of those they're at their cycle where, you know, they're probably going to start seeing, you know, going public or seeing some of that. So it'll be interesting to see what moves on the technology side. But ultimately, I think the entire industry is moving towards a consolidation method and towards AI. So those two things put together. And so we're trying to implement AI as much as we possibly can to analyze the feedback data and the review data, and now the conversational data to give that back to our ownership groups. But I think those, like the Elises of the world, the Nurture Bosses of the world, I think those are going to succeed just because AI is doing kind of, you know, three different things. They're augmenting, analyzing, and then automating process. And so I think anyone who's doing anything in that space is going to do really, really well. And we're trying to compete there as well. So I don't know if that's, you know, I don't have a crystal ball. I wish I did. But for me, those are the things that that we're kind of focused on and have our eye on is when we talk about the future, is like getting ready for some of those events and figuring out how we can implement some of those in what we're doing today.
Amazing. We're going in the right direction. We're a slow industry. We're there now. I like it.
I love it. I think you're right. There's always these cycles of consolidation. Even I And I used to, my longest tenure was in franchise marketing, and we would see that cyclical where these kind of technologies would pop up that, I mean, very similar to multifamily, where you have these technologies that are helping, you know, franchise brands manage multiple locations, right? Very, very similar concept, but we would definitely go through these cycles where you would see the consolidations, and then you needed the innovation to cause the consolidation, and then it would start all over. So I think you're right. I think we saw the innovation for a little while. Now we're starting to see the consolidation. So we're going to end with my favorite question, which is a forward thinking, and it's kind of this debate, and Chris swings back and forth on what he thinks. But my question is, do you think that Google search will be replaced? Like, you know, people are like, let's go to Google and Google it. Like, do you think that that's going to be replaced by AI search?
You know, I don't think it's going to be replaced fully, but I think it's going to be chipped away. And I think Google search is too entrenched in, you know, even the way that we talk about go Google it, right? You know, the ad revenue, even the browsers, right, that are, you know, because half of us, if not more, are on, you know, on a Chrome browser, right? But I don't think that, I don't think it's going to go away fully, but I absolutely think that they are eroding right now, for sure. And I think that Google is trying to stitch itself into all this right now. You know, the AI overviews, the Geminis, the YouTube first results, those. But I think the biggest risk is that people stop using search as their first step. If AI assistants or social platforms, you know, default become, you know, quote unquote, the front door, Google just becomes another back-end data provider. And so I don't think that they're going to disappear completely, but I do think, you know, the ultimate answer to this is, I think the way that search is happening right now is fundamentally changing. But is Google going to die itself? No, but they're definitely going to get diminished over time unless they do something wild, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, I think that they will disappear. Not as a company, because Chris is like, what about Gmail? I'm like, I don't know. Okay, like maybe Gmail will stay. But like, I do think that just like Yahoo kind of basically went away as a search engine. You know, I don't, Bing wasn't really ever that big of a player, but Yahoo, I can imagine Yellow Pages. I always think about the Yellow Pages just all of a sudden no longer being relevant. I think Google's going to end up in the same place. So,
yep. And Chris, do you not agree then, huh?
I think that I'm not wavering. I think that people use chat. I just call out ChatGPT. I know there's others out there, but let's just say ChatGPT. I think they use ChatGPT differently than they use Google. And so I agree that maybe it's going to erode in some of the end searches, but I think people use it differently. I have said, and I am on record of saying, that if ChatGPT somehow gets maps and can give you directions and can like really give you the whole story of somewhere where you're going along with all of this other narrative that it provides. And I think that becomes game changing. And that would definitely, that could potentially end what Google is doing on the search side. But I think as a, you know, just as a search engine, I think it's going to be there for a little while, especially with YouTube being the second most used search out there. I don't think those die. I mean, that's going to take a long time for that to cycle through, but who knows with these younger generations, we talk about it all the time. They use TikTok for search. I catch myself using ChatGPT more than I ever have. And I know we're not on video, but, you know, I have my little Google poster that I got at Google when I went and visited, I don't know, 15 years ago. So, you know, just how people change and how they use it. As I've said on this pod today, you know, and all of us on this call experienced Google kind of coming from a baby to what it is today. And now we have AI search doing the same thing and we're trying to figure it out. And it's kind of fun to be a marketer in that and figure out what's going to happen in the future. I gave a long answer because I love Google and I don't want it to die. It's been so good.
Poor Chris wants an invite back to Mountain View. He's like,
it's
look at my coaster.
It's answered so many of my questions. You know, I hope that they figure it out, but I can absolutely, because I'm doing it on my own. And we take our bias out of it, but I am doing more and more with ChatGPT and the conversational side. But it doesn't give me everything I need. And I have to double check some of it. Their data isn't great. Not that Google's is, but at least with Google, the way that they've kind of evolved over the years, they are better at giving you the results at the top of the page that mean something. So I'm in the camp with Google, but you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah.
So, well, Devin, is there anything else you want our listeners to know before we say goodbye? I'm so sad. I'm like trying to drag this out. Like, I don't want to say goodbye to Devin, but is there anything else we should know?
No, I just, no, I don't think so. Other than you guys have been great. I think you guys are asking a lot of the right questions. I'll plug you guys for a minute that, you know, it seems like, you know, a lot of the conversations, even some of the talking points that, you know, we had previously talked about, all those things, I think you guys are awesome. And I hope that, people continue to look at that. I, you know, selfish plug for ourselves. You know, there's this meme that I like. That's like, if you knew me in high school, you don't know me anymore. Right. I don't know if you've seen that, but I will say if you saw Opinion 2 years ago, you don't know us anymore. We are a very different product. We are trying to do something big. We're trying to do something new. 2 million units can't be wrong. And so I will plug that for ourselves, that we feel like we're trying to really change this industry and do what's right by it. And yeah, I'll leave you guys with that. So thank you.
Thank you. Well, Devin, thank you so much. Opinion, thank you so much. Flamingo, our sponsor, thank you so much. Carlos, our producer, thank you for making us sound good. Of course, thank you to Chris, who always asks the best questions. And until next time, this has been the Apartment Department. Thank you.